If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to the book of Judges, chapter number 16. Judges chapter number 16. We begin reading at verse number 13. Delilah said unto Samson, "Hereto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with a web." And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awakened out of his sleep and went out with the pin of the beam and with the web. She said unto him, "How canst thou say that I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." Praise God. Now, at this point in time, I'm just wondering just how smart this guy is. I think Ray Charles could see something going on here. Verse number 16, "It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that she told her all, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, 'There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me and I shall become weak and be like any other man.' And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand." Praise God. I want to go back to verse number 16. "She pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death." Praise God. I want to talk here for a few moments of time tonight, amen, about spiritual vexation, amen, spiritual vexation. Praise God. God of heaven, we love you and we thank you for your word. We're so blessed by you, by all in all things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something that you probably already know, and that not going to shock you. But I don't like the devil. I think we got a mutual feeling. I wish we had a mutual understanding, but we don't. Praise God. I guess we kind of do have a mutual understanding, but it's not the one that I would prefer. But nevertheless, I don't like him. I don't like his ways. I don't like his deceptiveness. I don't like his deception. I don't like his lies. I don't like his undercover operations. Amen. I don't know that there's anything about him that I like. Nothing about him that I care for. He is always in direct opposition to the people of God. Praise God. I happen to like the people of God. As a matter of fact, I happen to love the people of God. Amen. Praise God. people of God are considered my brothers, my sisters. Amen. And I don't take lightly, amen, when I see the devil working his deeds and his magic or whatever it is, his ways upon the people of God. But he's got a way about him. And he's always had a way about him. He's slick. He's not the type of person that's just going to walk up to you with a 40-ounce or bottle of beer and say, hey, why don't you just drink this? But he knows how to get you to that place. He's not the one that's going to just send you some handsome hunk or some, trying to find a polite name to use. Amen. Some darling special by your way and just automatically just offer some type of fling. But he knows how to get you there. Praise God. He's not the type that's going to come up and just offer you a baggie of some type of white substance, powdery substance and such. But he does know how to get you there. Amen. There's a lot of things that he's not going to just come up and offer you, but he knows how to get you there. There are spiritual dimensions. And with this, there are levels of satanic influences, such as Bible talks about in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter number 6, but he talked about that there were principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of the darkness. And these, when you study them out, you would see that their orders step down. And so principalities is the highest, and then the next one is the next level, and it just continues to step down. And it doesn't stop with just that. There are spirits of possession that would possess an individual, and we have read about them throughout the scriptures, and maybe you have seen some of that, and I know that I have. And not just spirits of possession, but there are spirits of oppression. Amen. Oppression. And it doesn't just stop there. The Bible talks about spirits of infirmities and such. And so it's just a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of sickness that can wear against you and wear you down to the place that he finally gets you to where he needs you to be to say yes to his vices. But it's not only that as far as it goes, but the Bible talks about buffeting spirits. Amen. Buffeting spirits. Amen. That are given jobs and deeds, and the only thing that they are to do is just wear you down. That's it. Daniel talked about it in his book, and he said that the spirit, amen, hath come to wear out the saints of the Most High. Praise God. I do not think that that is ironic when the Lord gives his beloved rest and he calls us, ye who are weary, come unto me, all ye who are weary, and I will give you rest. Praise God. Rest. Why? It's because the enemy has been warring against not just souls, but that is the end game. He is warring against minds, mindsets, beliefs. Amen. Warring against them, trying to tear them down. And there is nobody that is that is marked out of this war, out of this battle. Everybody is fair game to the devil. As a matter of fact, the devil wants everybody to play. He wants everybody to be involved in it. And even if you try to abstain, you are playing into his hands. Praise God. Amen. It's a warfare. It's a warfare. And when you lay down your weapons, then you are surrendering unto the enemy. Praise God. But he knows how to work against humanity. He's been doing it for thousands upon thousands of years. He had his first case in heaven when he began to work upon the angelic host. And even then in the heavens, he was able to persuade a third to follow after him. After being cast down to heaven, he didn't take his defeat very lightly. But the Bible says that he began to work upon mankind by the name of Eve, and getting her to be deceived, and having Adam to fall with her. He began to pour out his hatred and vitriol against God's creation called humanity. Praise God. And it's never stopped. It's never stopped. You can trace it throughout the Bible that no matter who that they were, we get to Abraham. Abraham would come directly after Noah. Noah, you see the vexation that was upon Noah, and that he would preach while building an ark. He would preach for 100 years and have 8 converts. But you know, when you get away from Noah and then you get into Abraham, and you see that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Abraham was called the friend of God. The Bible said that because of Abraham's faithfulness, it was counted as righteousness unto him. But nevertheless, he was faced day in and day out with unbelief and with all kinds of other things. He faced the Philistines and such. And you get away from Abraham and you get into Isaac, and you see his battles that he had to go through. And you get into Jacob, and you get into Joseph. And then from there, you're going to get into Moses. And then from Moses, you're going to get into Joshua. And Joshua, you're going to get into the judges. And the judges were there just to try to straighten Israel out, because the people of God had been so vexed during their times. From Exodus, the Bible teaches us, even in the book of Numbers, chapter number 20, that the Egyptians vexed the Israelites on a daily basis. They vexed them. And so throughout all of Egypt, they lived in a vexated world. And when they came out of Egypt, they wandered around in the wilderness. And wandering around in the wilderness, there was vexation that was upon them, and the opposition that was against them. And understand that the opposition that was against them was opportunities for miracles to happen. They didn't have water, and that was an opposition, but it was an opportunity for a miracle. They didn't have the leeks and the garlics and the onions and stuff from Egypt any longer, but there was an opportunity for a miracle called manna to be there. They didn't have flesh, and there was the opposition that came against them to murmur and to complain about all of this. But as opposed to the opposition there was an opportunity for God to draw the quail in at night and to bring the flesh in for them. And then there was the thing that God called good. God said, this right here is my land. This is what I want you to possess. This is what I am going to give to you. It is a good land. And they called that which God called good, they called it bad. They came back to Moses, and they said, it is a good land, but we can't take it. It's bad. There are enemies that are there. There are oppositions there. And because that their soul was vexed by all of this, they wandered around in Egypt for another long period of time. And then there was the people of Jericho and the people of Ai. There was the wins and there were the losses. There was the times when God was blessing, and there were the times when they was in slavery and such. And so the devil just never, ever, ever stopped. You get to David, and David fights depression. He fights anxiety. He fights desperation and such. He fights feeling like he has been left for naught, and wondering where God is and why God hasn't come through. And he would even say in one of the chapters, he would bring before the Lord, and he would say, "My soul is vexed." Amen. He's bringing this before God. I am facing this constant opposition and my soul is vexed. In other words, it's just grieved. I am grieved. Praise God. And you can study on exactly what grief can do to an individual. And grief has many different faces and many different ways about it. And grief can show up at any time. When you least expect it, all of a sudden, there it is. And it comes at a full assault upon an individual. But the enemy is bringing this grief and this vexation of spirit against God's people, and we would even read in the book of 2 Samuel that there was a man by the name of Amnon, and the Bible teaches us that he loved his sister Tamar, and he wanted her, and he didn't know how to do it. And the Bible says it like this, that Amnon was so vexed. He was so vexed by this situation, perplexed and grieved by all of this, that he gave in to the temptation, amen, as his friend Jonadab would teach him how to go about sinning, amen. That's just like the way that the devil is. The devil goes unto, uses Jonadab to go tell Amnon. He said, I'm going to teach you how to do this and how to get away with it. I'm going to teach you how that you can skirt this and you can get what you want and you may not understand how to do it now, but I'm going to teach you how to backslide. I'm going to teach you the ways, of the world. I'm going to teach it to you. And Amnon was so vexed that he listened to Jonadab, and in the process of listening to Jonadab, he got what he wanted. But when he got what he wanted, he realized that it was a total mistake, a total mess, and he kicked Tamar out. I just want to say that Amnon was not happy when he got what he wanted. And that's typically the ways of the world. Amen. That when you get what you want, amen, you're not going to want what you got. Amen. You're going to realize too late that what you had was such a blessing. It was such a good thing. And you traded it in for a moment's time and for a moment's pleasure. And it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And it's the way that it is in our text. Samson thinks that he loves Delilah. Samson thinks that he loves Delilah. Samson, you don't love Delilah. You're just caught up in a moment of lust and you don't even know what love is. And Samson thinks that he knows what he wants and he sets about to get what he wants, and he goes down to the valley of Timnath and finds Delilah, and before you know it, he's taken a nap in her lap, and his soul gets to be very vexed because Delilah begins to talk to him about some things that he holds precious to himself. The vows of God. The vows of God, the vows that he took, amen, as a Nazirite, the things that were precious to him, the things that has blessed him and that has given him strength and has given him wisdom and knowledge and helped him. And he didn't always use that wisdom. He didn't always use the correct knowledge, but he always came back and he used the blessings of God for the ways of God. The Bible said that God designed the deliverer. That when he went to Manoah and to Samson's mother, and he said, you're going to have a child, and he is going to begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines, and this is going to be his design. He's going to be a Nazirite. He's not going to eat of the grapes. He's not going to eat of the husk of the corn. He's not going to touch dead things. He's not going to cut his hair. He's not going to do this. And the vow of the Nazirite just went on in there. And it was a precious thing unto Samson. I mean, who wouldn't like it, amen, to be surrounded by 1,000 Philistines and then just, Spirit of God come upon you, just whip all of them. Amen. Just destroy. You know, some of you said, you know what, if I could just whip a devil or two, I'd be happy. I don't have to whip 1,000 Philistines. If I just whip a devil or two that's been coming against me, I feel like I'd be okay. But that was the story of Samson. It's, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he picked up the gates of the city and took them off and did all things. And I don't know how big of a boy that you are, Brother Garrett, but, he tied foxes' tails together, caught them on fire and sent them through the Philistines' cornfields and such. And you know what? He just did as he pleased and did as he wanted. Pick up the jawbone of a donkey and slay Philistines, and no matter what it was. And so he had this premonition that he could get away with whatever he wanted to, because I know there's differing opinions upon all of this, but you know, he did touch the jawbone of a lion or something when he pulled the honey out of it. He didn't tell his mom or his dad where he got it from. He just told him that it was sweet honey. But he touched the bone of a dead animal, and he did touch the bone of a jawbone of a donkey when he whipped 1,000 Philistines. And I have my own feelings about all of that. But somebody said, "Oh, it's the provisions of the Lord." You know what? Maybe it was. Maybe it's not. But all I know is the vow of the Nazarite said, "Don't touch any dead thing." The vow of the Nazarite said, don't eat of the grapes, don't partake of the grapes, don't partake of the husk thereof. But yet you find out that that's where Samson's love was. He was always down in Timnath, which was known for their vineyards. And there he was in the vineyards all the time. And, you know, here he is in the vineyards, and he's like, I'm not partaking, I'm not touching, I'm just looking. You know, that would be like going to the bar and setting the bar with all of your friends and stuff and say, no, I think I'll just have a Dr. Pepper. You know, I think I'll just have a milk. That's about the way that it is. And so here is Samson, and he's laying in the head of Delilah, and Delilah is coercing him and talking to him and saying, you know, Samson, baby, would you please tell me how and why and what makes you so strong? And Samson said, well, if you do this, then all of my strength would be gone. And you know, she loved him so much that she tried to take his strength away. And it didn't work. And she got all upset and offended. And she said, Samson, she said, you know, you didn't tell me the truth. And would you please tell me wherein your strength lies? And he said, well, if you'll just bind me with 7 new cords, 7 new ropes, he said, I'll be just like every other man. And she loved him so much, she tried to steal all of his strength a second time. And she got offended because she had been lied to. And so she told him again. She said, Samson, wherein do your strength lies? And he got just a little bit closer to the truth. And he said, well, if you'll weave my hair into locks and put beams in there, then he said, you know, I'll just be like every other man. And so she said, well, listen, go to sleep, honey. And she put him to sleep. And that's the first thing that she did. She loved him so much, she tried to take his strength a third time. And Samson was so ignorant that he just continued to believe her that she loved him. The world does not love you. They just don't. It does not love you. The world is going to take you, use you, abuse you, and wad you up like a piece of trash and throw you away. Praise God. The world has no use for you. And the world just, the Bible said that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Praise God. And if he can destroy you with fame and fortune, then so be it. That's a cheap price for him to pay. And so here goes Delilah again back to him a fourth time and said, now, I've been talking to you and I've been asking you and you just been lying to me. And how can you say that you love me? And I have pledged my allegiance to you and I have told you how much that I love you. And I haven't held anything back from you, but you're holding things back from me. You're not telling me everything. And how can you say that you love me when you won't tell me what I want to know? And wherein does your great strength lie? And the Bible said that when she had pressed him daily with her words, and that his soul was so vexed that he gave in and he said, if you cut my hair, I'll be just like every other man. Perceiving and knowing that she had gotten the truth out of him, she called the Philistines and she said, look, bud, she said, just go ahead and bring the money this time. That was the deal. Said, you know what? If you get to figure out where his great strength lies, we'll give you 1,000 pieces of silver. And, you know, but this time she said, I'll just tell you what, I know I've got it this time. You just bring your money in faith because it's just going to work. And Samson's soul was so vexed that he told her all that was in his heart. And the Bible said it like this, that he was vexed unto death. Praise God. The enemy don't play fair. He doesn't care how you feel about things. He doesn't care what you've got going for you. He doesn't care everything that's right in your life. He doesn't care what kind of money you've got in the bank. He doesn't care anything about anything. He doesn't care anything about you. He says that he loves you, but he don't love you. There's nothing about you that he cares for. The only thing that he is interested in is that you spend eternity in hell with him. That's it. That's it. He doesn't care what your last name is. He doesn't care what position you hold. He doesn't care if you're the preacher, the song leader, the musician, or just the saint on the pew. He could care less. He understands that if he can smite the shepherd, that the sheep will scatter. And so a lot of times there is extra emphasis and pressure put upon the preacher. I've seen preachers that have fallen and such, and because that they fall, people walk out and they don't have faith in preaching, you know, preachers anymore. Let me just tell you something. The preacher's just as much man as you are. Amen. Just as much flesh as you are. Amen. Praise God. We just got a bullseye painted on the front and on the back, on the top and on the bottom and on each side. Amen. That's just the way. But I'm just saying that the devil does not care. And so it's the constant pressure day in and day out. You know, I have been physically wore out, and it's easy to recover physically being wore out. I can go sit in a chair. I can sit at the table and drink a glass of water. I can sit in the chair and rest for a little while and gain some strength. But there's something about being mentally wore out. I'd rather be physically wore out every day than to be mentally wore out. And that's what the devil is fighting. He's not fighting against your muscles. He's not fighting against your talents. He's not fighting against the things that you can do good and stuff like that. He's fighting against your mind. Fighting against your mind. He's warring against your mind. Amen. That's why Paul said that we've got to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We got to pull down and cast down imaginations and such like that. We got to whatsoever things are good and pure and kind and lovely and honest and pure and of a good report. Think upon these things, because the enemy is trying to destroy and to get into your mind and to worry you constantly all the time. Praise God. If you got enough money to pay the bills, he's going to find something to keep you worried about. If you don't have enough money to pay the bills, he's got something to keep you worried about. But he always wants to bring up the negative things. He always wants to bring it up. He wants to, amen, to provide all of the things. I remember back as a kid singing in youth camp sometimes, and we sang some of the corny songs, but said something about, you know, accentuating the positive and eliminating the negative. And just a simple little song. But you know what? That's what we need to do. Praise God. We need to hold to the things that are positive, and we need to cut off the things that are negative. Amen. The song said, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But that's the way that the enemy is. It's constant vexation, constant grieving, constant warring against you. Amen. You cannot tell the devil no one time only. He doesn't take it. He doesn't give up. He comes back, bringing to you the same thing again and again and again, and providing place, providing situation, providing everything that is needed to make it happen, providing all of that and saying, here you go. And you got to say no again. And the temptation is there, and it just continues to war against you and continues to work against you, and you become tired. And so the Lord said, don't be weary in well doing. Amen. And he said, don't give place to the devil. And you can't give an inch. You've heard it said before, you give an inch and he'll take a mile. But that's the way that the enemy is. He's sitting there. He's got the pressure on. And as soon as you budge, amen, he gets every inch of ground that he can possibly get. And he's just constantly warring against your mind. And it's the vexation of spirit that is there. Solomon in all of his wisdom and his glory and all of these things said, you know what, there's a time for this and a time for that. You know when he never had time for it? Look it up. He never had time for God. He says, there's a time of war, a time of peace, a time to gather, a time to throw away, a time to sow, a time to plant, a time to this, time to that. He never said that there was a time for God. And then you get into his book of wisdom and his ecclesiastical book and such. In his book of wisdom, what does he begin to talk about? All the things that he should have done that he didn't do. He's trying to teach his sons, amen, a little bit of wisdom. And he's trying to tell them, look, but you know what? He was vexed. I'd be vexed too if I had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Vexed! 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 Can't get away from it. Can't get out from under the pressure. Vexed. Vexed. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm so vexed. He said, I'm going to try to find happiness somewhere. And he said, so I'm going to build a house. He is still vexed. He said, I'm going to plant an orchard. He was still vexed. He said, I'm going to build a pool. He was still vexed. Amen. Everything that my eyes saw, I kept not from them. Amen. But he was still vexed. It's because he wasn't fighting against just his desires. He was fighting a spirit that wanted his soul. Vexed. He couldn't get past it. Couldn't get past it. And you know, you'd think, you know, a new house will satisfy, a new vehicle will satisfy, a bass boat will satisfy, a new rifle will satisfy, good shopping experience will satisfy and all that. But Solomon came around and he said, you know what? He said, I found out that all of my labor under the sun, he said, all of it is vanity and vexation of spirit. Vanity and vexation of spirit. Just can't get away from it. Amen. You know why? It's because God doesn't want your soul to die lost. And your soul never ceases to be silent. At least you better hope it doesn't. Your soul is sitting there like the old Garfield cartoons, and you got the angel on one side and the devil on the other side, and you know, the angel is saying, don't do it, and the devil is saying, oh, go ahead and do it, and Garfield knocks the angel off and winds up in trouble. That's the way that Solomon was. And Solomon said, it's just vanity, vanity and vexation of spirit. Vexation of spirit. That's just the way that it is. Samson, do you know what you want? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what I want. Samson, do you know where you're headed? Well, of course I know where I'm headed. Samson, do you know what's in store for you? Sure. Before you know it, Samson is doing things that he never dreamed that he would do. Living yesterday in victory and today in bondage. His eyes are put out. And he's at a cornmeal and he's pushing round and round in circles, grinding the corn. And they made sport of him. They made fun. Those that said that they loved him, they cared for him and such, they mocked him and they made sport of him. And they put him back in the jail. And every time they wanted to make fun of somebody, they'd just go get Samson, bring him out. Samson, is this what you wanted? No, this isn't what I wanted. Samson, is this what you dreamed you would be doing? No, I never dreamed that I would be here. I never dreamed that it would be like this. Then what are you here for, Samson? I was vexed. I was vexed. I didn't feel like I didn't have victory. I didn't feel like I had any other option. I didn't feel like I had another opportunity. I didn't feel like I had any other way. I thought I knew what I wanted. I thought I knew where I was going, but I never dreamed that it would lead me to this place. But I was so vexed. I wasn't thinking right. I wasn't thinking right. Just so vexed. That's the story of all of our lives. That's the story of every one of us. My battles are different than your battles. My situation is different than your situation. The church as a whole goes through vexation. You think that looking at empty pews makes me feel good? You think that not seeing water in the baptistry for a period of time makes me feel great? You think that nobody getting the Holy Ghost for a period of time just makes me want to do cartwheels? Is that the way that I dreamed it? No. Is that the way I envision it? No. I believe that there is a spiritual vexation that's warring against faith, the faith of the church, to the place that the church becomes so vexated, becomes so wore out, that people start giving up faith. It doesn't mean that you're going to quit and you say, well, I'm not going to quit. I just don't know that I have faith anymore. And the devil's like, it's exactly where I wanted you. It's exactly where I was. Somewhere or another, you just got to keep on praying, keep on believing, and you got to keep on keeping on through it all. There is a good story about being vexed in the Bible. Bible talks about a man by the name of Elisha who told a little Shunammite woman, he said, you're going to be with child. You're going to have a child. She was barren. He told her, he said, you're going to have a child. And she said, look, we don't have to go there. These are things in my life that I've already faced and I feel like I've already gotten past. We just don't have to go there. Elisha said, no. He said, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. And so she did. She had a son. And the son grew and got to the place that he was out in the fields working with his dad. And how proud that must have made a mom feel as she watched the joy of her life as he took off running into the fields with his dad. And a few hours later, somebody brings him back as the child has cried and said, my head, my head. And so all of her promises and all of her hopes and her joy and everything is at a place of desperation. And she's like, you know, everything that I longed for, wanted for, now it looks like it's being taken from me. And the boy cries out in anguish and gives up the ghost and dies. And the woman's heart and her spirit is vexed. She takes the child and she takes him into that inner chamber and she lays him upon the bed of the man of God. And the Bible said that she makes haste and she goes to find the man of God. She runs and she goes quickly. Elisha sees her from a distance and he tells Gehazi, he said, is that Shunammite woman? He said, I believe it is. And here she comes running. And when she gets to Elisha, the Bible says that she falls at his feet and she grabs a hold of his feet. So vexed. She grabs a hold of his feet. And Gehazi looks at her and makes a move towards her to push him up, to push her off and to push her away from what she is doing. And Elisha said this, he said, leave her alone because her heart is vexed and the Lord hid it from me. Leave her alone. Her soul is vexed and the Lord hath hid it from me. And he asked her, he said, is all well? She said, all is well. Is all well with the child? All is well. He finally understands and gets what's going on. And he tells Gehazi, he said, take my coat and go put it upon the child. Run ahead of me. And so it happens. And he goes in unto the child. And he lays upon the child and puts his face to face, mouth to mouth. And breathes into him and speaks over him. And the child sneezes and comes back to life. And he presents but it's a different story about being vexed. Because you see, Samson was
vexed and he gave in. And the Israelites were vexed and there was no answer. And Amnon was vexed and he gave in. But this woman was vexed and she said, I'm not giving up on the promise that God has given unto me. Amen. I may be vexed. I may be overwhelmed, but I'm not giving up. Amen. And there was an obstacle that laid ahead. The same hot day that caused her son to die was the same hot day that she had to face as she ran to meet the man of God. And she persisted through it all. And when she got to the man of God in his presence, she fell at his feet and she said, I'm not going away. I'm not giving up. And the man of God said, she's vexed, but God is going to break the vexation. God is going to bring a miracle. And God did. God brought her dead son back to life. I'm preaching to a church here tonight that has been vexed over some things. I'm preaching to individuals tonight that have been vexed over the activities and the events of life. I'm preaching to people tonight that have been vexed beyond imagination. It's time to tell the devil to get lost. It's time to get out of your pew. It's time to make your way through the obstacles that are blocking you, the obstacles that are warring against your mind, and get to the feet of Jesus. I've got to get to his feet. I've got to get to his feet. If I can get to the feet of Jesus, everything is going to be okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As we stand here tonight, don't take no for an answer. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you that it's not that bad. Don't let the devil tell you that you can't have your answer. Don't listen to the devil no matter what he has to say. You just make up in your mind, I've got to get back to the feet of Jesus. I've got some questions that have got to have some answers. I've got some dilemmas that I've got to have victory over. I've got some opposition that I've got to get past. But I've got to get to Jesus first. I've got to get to Jesus first. You need to run. You need to fall at his feet. You need to say, Master, have mercy upon me. The devil has been vexing me. The devil has been working against me. There is a God that is still saying, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest from the vexation.